Like instead, I'm going to look at this letter that was sent by the ACLU, including others, Disability Rights Legal Center, Public Interest Law Project, Justice in Aging, Disability Rights Advocates, LGBTQ, or maybe it's just LGBT Sacramento, National NHLC, National Homelessness Law Center, perhaps, and other groups, to an assembly chair, Honorable Mark Stone, who also happens to be the assembly person for the assembly district where Santa Cruz is located, writing about AB 2830, which is the CARE Courts law being pushed by Newsom, Governor Newsom, or a gruesome Gavin, as some people call him, one of them. Anyway, what the letter writes in opposition to these CARE courts is this. The organization sending this letter advance and protect the civil rights of Californians living with disabilities, experiencing homelessness, and involved in the criminal legal system. Respectfully, we oppose AB 2830. The CARE court framework that it seeks to establish is unacceptable for a number of reasons. It does not guarantee housing as a solution to address homelessness. Evidence shows that adequately resourced intensive voluntary outpatient treatment is more effective than court-ordered treatment. It will perpetuate institutional racism and worsen health disparities. There are flaws in AB 2830's reliance on a person's lack of capacity to make medical decisions. Use of the terms supportive decision-making and supporter reflects a misunderstanding of the concepts behind the terms and obscures the involuntary nature of the CARE court. And finally, critical terms and concepts are not defined by AB 2830 or elsewhere in California law. We believe that a transformational proposal like CARE court should be thoroughly vetted by stakeholders and informed by research and data before it is adopted. This has not happened here. Because CARE court will harm Californians with disabilities, experiencing homelessness, and involved in the criminal legal system, we cannot support this proposal. Background. The California legislature has declared that, quote, in the absence of a controversy, a court is normally not the proper forum in which to make health care decisions. Yet, AB 2830 seeks to establish a new court system in which health care decisions will be made. Despite AB 2830's use of the terms recovery and empowerment, CARE court is a system of coerced, court-ordered treatment that strips people with mental health disabilities of their right to make their own decisions about their lives. CARE court is antithetical to recovery principles, which are based on self-determination and self-direction. The CARE court proposal is based on the stigma and stereotypes of people living with mental health disabilities and experiencing homelessness. While the organizations submitting this letter agree that state resources must be urgently allocated towards addressing homelessness, incarceration, hospitalization, conservatorship, and premature death of Californians living with severe mental illness, the CARE court is the wrong framework. The right framework allows people with disabilities to retain autonomy over their own lives by providing them with meaningful and reliable access to affordable, accessible, integrated housing combined with voluntary services. 2. Ending homelessness for all Californians living with mental health disabilities requires guaranteed housing provided with fidelity to principles that prioritize voluntary services. Instead of allocating vast sums of money towards establishing an unproven system of court-ordered treatment that does not guarantee housing, the state should expend its resources on a proven solution to homelessness for people living with mental health disabilities. Guaranteed housing with voluntary services. Given that housing is proven to reduce utilization of emergency services and contacts with the criminal legal system, a team of UC Irvine researchers concluded that it is fiscally irresponsible as well as inhumane not to provide permanent housing for Californians experiencing homelessness. To effectuate guaranteed housing, California should use the funds targeted towards Care Court to instead make large-scale investments in low-barrier, deeply affordable, 15% of area median income or less, accessible, integrated housing for people experiencing homelessness. This housing should be made available with access to voluntary, trauma-informed, culturally responsive, evidence-based services such as assertive community treatment, intensive case management, not sure I agree with all of this, peer support, and substance use disorder services that follow the harm reduction approach. Informed by Housing First principles, California has recognized that it is crucial to use housing as a tool rather than a reward for recovery, and to provide or connect unhoused people to permanent housing as quickly as possible. Housing First principles as an evidence-based model require offering services as needed and requested on a voluntary basis, and not making housing contingent on participation in services. By statute, state programs that provide housing or housing-based services to people experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness must adopt guidelines and regulations to incorporate the core components of Housing First. Evidence shows that housing provided with fidelity to Housing First principles leads to the types of positive outcomes for unhoused people that the state is misguidedly proposing to attain via Care Court. For example, a recent UCSF randomized controlled study of unhoused high utilizers of public systems in Santa Clara County found that permanent supportive housing, which incorporates Housing First principles, combined with intensive case management, significantly reduced psychiatric emergency room visits and increased the rate of scheduled outpatient mental health visits. I'm not sure that that's so wonderful either, compared to the control group. And the real issue is whether people felt better, got better, were feeling more functional. Not that they had more visits with, or more or less visits with outpatient mental health visits. Although that'll get the mental health workers on board, I suppose. In addition, Housing First programs that closely adhere to the evidence-based model result in positive housing and substance use outcomes for chronically homeless people with substance use disorders. So I'm beginning to feel tangled-tongued as I read this. Although I tend to agree with a lot of it, and I'm glad that the ACLU and the Disability Rights Coalition is opposing these forced treatment care courts that they're pushing, which are really a way of getting homeless people off the streets who they can put us stigmatized with a mental health label on them. I don't believe in putting the fate of the homeless community in the hands of mental health workers, even if they aren't carrying around guns like the police are. I suppose if you got a choice between a mental health worker with a hypodermic needle and a cop with a gun, you might choose the needle man, but I don't think you need to actually see others. Anyway, to summarize this, the letter continues and claims, evidence shows that adequately resourced intensive voluntary outpatient treatment is more effective than court-ordered treatment, if you can find any treatment at all, of course. Then we have Care Court will perpetuate institutional racism and worsen health disparities. And this claim is made because you got a lot more black people proportionally who are homeless than white folks. Black people make up 8% of the population, but 34% of people experiencing homelessness statewide. 6.5% identify as black or African American, but they account for 40% of the homeless population. And according to this survey, Black, Indigenous, and people of color and immigrant racial minorities are more likely to be diagnosed with psychotic disorders than white Americans. I guess they're just crazier, right? And by targeting unhoused people with diagnoses of schizophrenia and other psychotic disorders, and this, you see, would be, what I guess, some of the new criteria. It's not a danger to yourself, a danger to others, gravely disabled, which is the current standard for holding someone against their will and presumably shooting them up with so-called medication and treatment against their will. Although that supposedly is supposed to be under some kind of scrutiny with the so-called Reese decision that people can decline to accept treatment if they can and ask for a hearing to show that they have good reason and that they're well enough informed to be able to make these choices themselves and are not too crazy to think about it and have their fate determined by doctors and others who may be getting lots of bucks from the pharmaceutical industry to push for pharmaceutical cures or pharmaceutical treatments. And there are numerous other claims that are made opposing AB 2830. There are numerous flaws in AB 2830's reliance on a person's lack of capacity to make medical decisions as a condition of eligibility. And some of those are, it gets pretty specific, so I'm going to kind of skip over this. Many critical terms and concepts are not defined by the law or anywhere else, so it leaves it up to courts or doctors. And it's got a lot of people signing it opposing the law, and I'm an opponent of it as well, so I'm glad that some folks are, and numerous organizations are opposing it. 30 or 35 or 40 organizations. I mentioned a few of them, and there's Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, Western Center on Law and Poverty, Western Regional Advocacy Project, Housing California, ACLU, California Action, all kinds of folks that are certainly worth listening to, if not paying close attention to. The issue in California, or I should say in Santa Cruz, and in Santa Cruz County, is what happens to people who get locked up on 5150s. That's the 72-hour hold against your will on the basis of the fact that you're gravely disabled, danger to self, or danger to others. And then there's been the claim that by even some of our HUF members, that the treatment here, they don't get forcibly treated here, but they do get forcibly sent to other jurisdictions where they do get forcibly treated. And this has happened to two HUF members, one of whom has since died through inappropriate withdrawal from medications once she actually got some housing, so much for housing first. But she wasn't given the other kinds of support she needed. Something as basic as a phone that worked. This is Cherie Peterson, for those of you who remember her. We've talked about this a little bit on this show. That increases involuntary treatment, to me, is generally bad. However much you want to help those poor people who are stumbling around talking to themselves. I talk to myself, but I sure hope nobody locks me up. And it's a real consideration, particularly if our jurisdiction, if our mental health treatment center is essentially sending people away to places where they're getting involuntarily shot up with medications that they feel don't help them, they don't want to take, and it's kind of frightening when you think about it. Fly.
Hi, it's Valerie.
What's the name of that song, Valerie?
Try a Little Kindness.
We're down there on the Pacific Avenue Mall, Concrete Mall, and it's about 25 to 4 on the 27th. Thank you for playing. Have a free piece of propaganda.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Go for it.
Flyer? What's your name again?
Valerie.
Valerie, you play here, what, pretty regularly in front of the... Palomar?
Mondays is my gathering day where I usually meet up with friends sometimes, if they show up, which they didn't today.
It's a solo today.
Uh-huh, yeah, I get my solo days for sure. I've had plenty of those. But, you know, I finish my work and then I come down here and... Are you blocking the wind? Is that what you're doing? Yeah, it's not that windy today, though. Just keeping in the habit. Wow, cool. He's got his big, heavy bag on a skateboard, and he's riding it. That looks...
His butt is sticking out.
Yeah.
That's not that important. How many hours a day do you usually play here, and how can people find you? Is it a regular Monday occurrence, or?
I come here pretty regularly at 3 o'clock, but sometimes I just don't feel like doing it. So then I probably miss out my friends. That's probably my. See, they skip me, and I skip them. You know, so. But we run into each other quite often. That's fun. It's just nice to socialize, say hi to people around here. Other people come up, say hello, talk, and so it's nice to just, you know, meet people.
Dig it. Sometimes. Wine. Well, I believe in getting out of jail.
I know. I saw you were in jail. Wow. Yeah, I love you, man. You've been doing a lot of work for us here in town. I've been here for 40 years.
Well, I haven't been in jail for years, so you must.
I know old Santa Cruz.
Oh, that. Well, it happened then.
He's been an advocate for all of us here. I really respect that.
Well, thank you.
A lot of us don't have what's going on. Dude, life is tough today, you know? And people like you that have a heart and are willing to get fucking arrested and beat up, I have a lot of respect for that.
I don't want to get beaten up if I can avoid it.
You've had some tough calls. I've just been around you.
Any reports from the street for free radio at the moment, yourself?
I would just like people to come together in peace and love, like what Santa Cruz used to really be like. It was, and it still is. I'm here, you're here, and we just need to unite and bring us together like vegetables in a field. how they grow. You know, if you have a problem, you know, and you have a weed problem, you go in there and you don't just mow your lawn down. You go in there and you dig up the weeds so they don't grow back. Okay? And we got a problem with people not willing to help out people who need help. We need to weed them out. We need to vote and make sure that our politicians and our state people today, the feds are fine, Democrat. The state people are screwing us up right now. They're passing all these fucking laws. We need to find out who these people are and vote them out of office and vote in our right people. We're in trouble in this country right now, but I love this country, and I think we can pull out of this. And women need to have their rights. I'm a man, and I'm a Hispanic man. I grew up as a man, but I also understand that women need their fucking rights, man. It's just as important, because that's going to come on to me and you eventually. They're coming after us.
How are the rents treating you here?
The rents, when I first came to Santa Cruz, I rented a house for $500, four bedrooms. And today, I bought a house many years ago before the earthquake, and my neighbor's house is going for $3,400 a month. I think it's ridiculous. I think we need to take care of the people in our community and keep the people who have been here for a long time and the people who really want to be here. And I think we, 10% across the board for everyone, 10% taxes across the board, billionaires, they got to pay their share. This bullshit, because I pay my share and they pay almost what I pay, and I don't got much money. But yet they can only pay a few thousand more than I got.
How have the police been treating you?
I'm happy with Santa Cruz Police Department. I think that they have an eye on what's going on, but I think their hands are tied. But I also feel like, you know, that they're okay. I have a few friends in Capitola, Cops Valley. I think they suck. You know, I don't think they have a vision of... But I think Santa Cruz police officers, I think some of them who've grown up here, like Escalante, he grew up here as a kid. I knew his dad, Rudy. I used to work at the Boys Club, you know, many years ago, and Rudy was a big help for me. He never messed with my kids, you know. He just helped me out and put them in the right track. I think it's important to get people that work in our community that have lived here in our community and stop bringing people over there. I think if you live over the hill and you work over the hill, you should be taxed to live here in our community. I work here. I'm an elementary school teacher here, and I think if you come over the hill and you're going to raise our rents and stuff here, then you need to pay the price, because you're putting us all in a bad situation.
How are conditions for teachers here?
Not good. We need more money. We're educating the future. Parents want the best for their children. Well, then you need to help us out, you know, because we're on the forefront right now. I'm on the battlefield. Every day I go to school, I'm on the battlefield. I give my life for my kids. You know, you're a parent. You've had your opportunity. You've had your life. I feel like children need to have an opportunity to grow and prosper. Just like we were in the fucking 60s and 70s, man. It was so innocent. You know, my mom, you come home before the sun comes down, son. And today, if I had a child, I wouldn't let my son. I mean, I'm worried today. With the gun violence, and that's another thing, is guns suck.
You just don't have your gun on you, I see.
I've never owned a gun. I don't need a gun. I use my words. I think if you use your words, I think people listen to you, you know? Words are powerful. I don't believe in, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words can hurt you. Words can change the world, you know? Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
And we've been talking with?
Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in.
So after the Roe versus Wade overturning by the Supreme Clowns, who, of course, characterize themselves as the Supreme Court. After that decision was made, it was a fairly big rally at the courthouse last Friday. And if you were listening to my Thursday show, maybe it was my last Sunday show, you probably heard some of the interviews there. And it was interesting. And it was a little bit encouraging to see so many folks there decked out with signs, and mostly a white crowd, admittedly. But I later heard that activists who had attempted to take more action I think spray paint some slogans on the county building, were physically attacked by members of the crowd who wanted everything to be hyper peaceful, which bothered me. Not so much because I'm a big fan of spray painting slogans, but because it seems to me you've got to have a critical mass of anger, and you've got to not just tolerate it, but ride it and let it motivate you if you're going to actually find the energy to fight the dominant passive narrative, regardless of who you vote for in this upcoming election, which, of course, the Democrats are trying to use as an electoral tool. Although, of course, had the Democratic majorities in Congress actually put into law the Roe versus White standards or something similar, this whole issue wouldn't have come to the Supreme Court. But Biden was always an opponent of free choice. He, in spite of what you hear from him now, he supported the Hyde Amendment, which prohibited federal funding for anything involving abortions or even birth control. At least at one point, I think that was the case. Could be wrong about that. So to vote for the same gang of political hacks who gave you this current situation, because you can get it, you would get a worse set of political hacks if you didn't, is never something I advise, at least not for the last 40 years. Anyway, I had some hopes after seeing this crowd get together that maybe there'd be a Black Lives Matter sort of stirring, as we saw 2 years ago, when not only were there protests against the murder of African Americans and others by police, but there was also a protest against the mistreatment of homeless people. Fences that Andy Mills had put up were taken down repeatedly and re-delivered to his police station. And that, I wondered, might that not be repeated again, this kind of rising demand for real justice and not sedulously obeying laws that don't really benefit the community and actually serve to confine it. But that really didn't happen. There were numerous protests called, didn't come out. In fact, we did, however, get some enthusiasm for a protest that, as I mentioned before, I'm going to be trying to set up today, which is just a little bit of tabling, to start considering ways of providing some real support and interaction with people in the benchlands and elsewhere who are essentially being threatened with a phony narrative that there's adequate shelter in Santa Cruz, so that they've always said this, of course. They've always lied quite blatantly. But now they're having to do so because they're going to be confronting, they being the city manager and the city council, they'll be confronting potential lawsuits, both from the ACLU, perhaps, and from the California Homeless Union, can't be sure, because of the Martin versus Boise decision, until, of course, the Supreme Court gets its teeth into this, and then you don't know what's going to happen. But that means we have to organize to make sure that the people who are running the local city government don't get away with what amounts to a kind of a low-grade warfare against the homeless that is forbidden even by law, but that they continue to do because they want to please the tourists, please the wealthy investors, please wealthy residents, and make the town look happier and more well-to-do than it really is. So I'd heard there was a protest going on at the farmer's market on Wednesday, last Wednesday, regarding a military booth. I'm not sure it was Marines or Air Force. They were going to be doing some recruiting, and there was a protest slated against it. So I came to sort of both review what was going on and, who knows, maybe to weigh in on the side against the military, because I think they are a really pernicious force, the way they're being used. Not every military person, but the military machine in general, for sure. That's engaging in methodical murder and facilitating that every day in the Ukraine. And, of course, around the 800 military bases, you know, that surround the Soviet Union and other countries. But you see, we're the U.S. government isn't the menace. It's the Russian government that's the menace. And I suppose to some of the countries on the Russian border, that's maybe I'd feel that way too in some respects. But I have to be concerned with what's going on in this country and what this country is facilitating and how it is pushing toward a nuclear war, which, or at least say boldly risking a nuclear war. Anyway, here's a, I couldn't find the recruiting table, and I actually got some indication that they hadn't even showed up, but I did have a conversation with some Native American activist supporters, and that now follows. Late in the afternoon, so it looks like there's not a lot of people here. It's pleasant, the weather. It's going to be a little free radio on the net, perhaps?
Oh, really? Okay. Well, so here's what we got.
We're talking with
Thomas Miller, and I'm at the booth at the Santa Cruz Farmers Market that's got the Ama Mudson's tribal representation of the need to preserve Juristock, which is a sacred village site, spiritual center of Ama Mudson, one of the spiritual centers of the Ama Mudson people.
Where is it?
It's in South County, set at the confluence of three different counties, San Benito, Santa Clara, and Santa Cruz County. The condition right now is that there's someone who has applied, who has the legal property rights. Of course, nobody can own anything on Mother Earth. It's just the legal property rights. And they're trying to get a permit to strip mine sand and gravel from this 6,000-acre site that's been largely undeveloped and has been protected, actually, by actions of the Ama Mudson tribe over the generations.
Are they living there at the moment?
No, the Ama Mudson actually has no legal title to any land in their homeland. There's a series of misadventures and worse, misadventures is too polite of a term, dispossession and genocidal actions, actually. But they're still here. They're still strong. Valentin Lopez is the tribal chairman. There's a website that you can go to if you care to listen. And that website is protectyuristat.com. Eurostat is protect is P-R-O-T-E-C-T. Eurostat is J-U-R-I-S-T-A-C.org. And the proposal is to turn this grand swath of greenery and sentient beings living on and below the surface of the land into a strip mine for sand and gravel, using up to 80,000 gallons of water a day from the underground aquifer to wash the sand and gravel to make it ready for market.
Well, who makes the profit here?
Well, that would be the mining company that has yet to buy the place. What's happening right now is there's an environmental impact statement that's being worked on. It's been 5 years in the process. It may be decided this summer, and a petition to sign that to support the tribe and the aftermath of the decision on the environmental impact statement to present to the Santa Clara Board of Supervisors, not the supervisors, the planning department, to deny a permit to do a gravel mine here.
The impact of it, they need a permit to actually do that.
They would need a permit to do it under the current conditions or legal, political.
And how well stacked is the commission?
That I do not know. I'm not privy to that information. But I can tell you that there is a counter proposal by a bunch of organizations, including the Sierra Club, to buy the legal rights to this land and donate it to the Ama Mudson Tribal Land Trust, so that the Ama Mudson would actually have legal title to some land in their homeland.
Who controls the land trust?
That's the tribal control. But
you may remember in the 70s, tribal authorities are not particularly representative of the tribes. Well, in some cases.
Yeah. And in this case, I would say that it's very representative of the tribe. And If I'm proven wrong, I would be proven wrong. But I've met Valentin Lopez, who is the current chairman, and he's a good person of heart.
Talk to any tribal members?
Yes.
Are they generally in one particular area, or are they all over the place?
They're all over the place. And maybe Angelie knows more than I on that regard.
I will grill her now.
Okay, very good, Rob.
We've been talking with...
Thomas Miller.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Angelina? Go for it.
So my name is Angelie Dion, and I've been working with Friends of Huristac for about 3 years, and we're trying to make people aware of this sand and gravel mine that's going in, or they're trying to get the permit to have it go in the southern Santa Cruz Mountains. And the Amamutsun, whose traditional homeland this is, are no longer there. They were taken to the missions, to Mission San Juan Bautista and Mission Santa Cruz during the Spanish colonization of the Central Coast. And mostly they live in the Central Valley now, in Merced and other places. A few of them live in Morgan Hill. But they're quite active, and their land trust is very active. Go ahead, you have a question?
I do, thank you. Any friends among them personally that you've known for a while?
No, I have met several of the members at events, because they regularly come to Santa Cruz. For example, when the city council unanimously supported a resolution in opposition to the pit and gravel mine, or the pit mine, sand and gravel mine, they came, and they've come to some other environmental events and cultural events, but I don't really see them regularly, and they're incredibly busy. So I try to, and all of the Friends of Huristac try to work on their behalf without burdening them as much as we can.
How was the reception from the group here? Is it mostly old geezers like myself?
Oh, no, it's everybody. I mean, students are really into it. Everybody's into it. It's like, you know, nobody wants to see that sand and gravel mine go in.
Rich guys in business suits.
You know, they stop. They ask questions. You know, occasionally they sign.
$100.
I wish. But, you know, we're just an all-volunteer organization, and we're just doing what we can.
Anything you want to add?
Just to, you know, get the word out and let people know about this. And you can come by the downtown farmers market on Wednesdays and pick up a bumper sticker for free and get more information and sign our petition.
And we have been talking with?
Angelie Dion.
Thank you, Angelie.
Thank you.
All right.
Come to and life is sweet. When you're here, you know you've made it. All the way to the top of the heap.
We're the latest, greatest, they're all so unique. We come to dine and to shine at the brand new Grill of the Week, Grill of the Week, Grill of the Week. Fabulous!
Fresh, fashion ingredients picked on our private farm. A solid green we fly in from the Amazon. A new brand of bottled water Eastern Europe has valued and packed. And a dozen bright new food designs combining things you've never before seen on one plate.
I'll have the smoked duck quesadilla with loquat, compote, and hazelnuts. And the nasturtium leaf fake organzola and shiitake mushroom salad with lime fennel cream.
And I'll have steak tartare.
Ooh!
It's the place for the movers and shakers. Not the spot for the casual munch. The portions are tiny, the price is enormous. This is the home of the power lunch.
It's the latest, greatest, oh, so unique. We've come to dine and to shine at the brand new Grill of the Week, Grill of the Week, Grill of the Week.
And that was This Is the Big Time Again from Ripped Van Winkle. More from An Encounter on the Street. Here on the mall in front of the defunct Joe's, which has been defunct for quite a while, but Joseph, you're making use of a kind of a nice backrest here where they used to have a kind of a seating area.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Not very good.
Tell me about the good and the bad and the ugly.
I'm starting to get callous of this town over and over and over and over again. And if you want me to stay around here and not get more and more callous and more and more...
Bitter?
More, yeah. To a level, if you want me to stay... Please help me to stay. And if you're not going to let me stay, okay, tell me up and tell me get the fuck out of my town.
So you were saying, well, when we last talked, you said Parks and Rec people had might have been responsible for taking your stuff. And now I hear that this your carrier here, which you have with you, which is kind of a, I don't know, how would you describe this, Joseph?
By carrier.
Yeah. You say that it was taken from you as well, briefly?
It was a plastic container. What was like every bit of a, like a, it was broken on the bottom and stuff like that. But it was like a, still good enough to drag my other things around in it and all. And I'm sitting back, and I had to go to the hospital because I had a mouth infection. And I came up, and I was like, okay, let's see what we can do about this. And they sent me over to Dominican, and I came back 5 hours later, and...
How did you get to Dominican?
They paid for a taxi.
And how'd you get back?
Walked.
Wow, that's quite a walk.
Yeah. And it didn't take me no more than 45 minutes.
More exercise that in one day than I get in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I try to. And then they come up and rid me of it or tell me, oh, we don't know where it went or we don't know where it's been or where it's gone or this or that or anything.
What was in the container that you valued?
My blankets.
Dig it.
And when did it disappear?
Between 8:30 and 8:30 and right about 3:30.
How long? How many days ago?
Just yesterday.
That's yesterday. And so last night you slept without blankets?
No, I came up and got this, this morel.
It's a sort of this half a...
Really warm.
How did you do that? Did you buy it? Did you get it donated?
Somebody came up and I told them I didn't have no blankets to sleep with, and they was like, they see me limping and carrying boxes and this and that and everything else, and then they came up and then they gave me this morel sleeping bag. They work in one of the buildings in front of me. They do.
Well, it looks like somebody, even if they might not want you to stay, they don't want you to freeze.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what's been going on in my life.
How's the burrito? I haven't never had those burritos.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Really?
Yeah, I tried it and I was like,
Dental problem?
No, just no meat.
No meat.
No meat. None whatsoever.
A vegan burrito.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything you see today on the street that you want to comment on?
I really hate that people mean mug me. Yeah.
Say that again?
I hate people mean mug me. Like,
You're looking at you nasty.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave it at that, unless you want to add something.
Nah, I'm good.
I appreciate your giving me the candid, grim story, man.
Yeah.
I'll put it out tomorrow night on Free Radio on the Net. Here on the
next, we're going to dive into, for want of anything better at the moment, the Huff meeting, which was probably one of the largest attended Huff meetings, which we're not talking dozens of people, we're talking somewhere between 8 and 10, something like that. But it was an active and vocal crew, and particularly me, as usual. So here's a bit of that. It actually began some minutes earlier, but we spent some time munching and getting coffee and moving chairs and so forth.
So again, we've got Troy, Joy, Gloria, Monica, Frankie, Nick, Laura, and me, and Fran.
There we go.
All right.
These are your things.
So, we also have some posters which are available for you to adorn your walls or paste up on city council walls. Take your pick. Should not be construed as a conspiracy to vandalize. It is simply a suggestion about free speech and the need to express it. So, we also have, as I said before, we have a flyer I've been distributing for Roe v. Wade and other type gatherings of people. And here it is. People
Robert,
want to take a look
Robert,
at it.
Troy wants one. Robert.
Good.
Robert. Troy wants one.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go.
I want one too.
Well, all right. Politician person.
Here you go.
And this is sort of a makeshift flyer that was, intended to draw in this crowd of bourgeois middle class. We're all going to go rah-rah against Roe versus Wade, but then not do shit for the rest of the year except vote Democratic. That'll be their latest.
Vote and donate.
Vote and donate. Of course, donate is a good idea, yeah.
That's right.
Donate your consent, as they like to say in the left-wing circles.
Likewise, I have any, so
jumping in on your intro here, I have some flyers with a QR code for anybody who hasn't signed our change.org petition.
And that's also on the agenda.
So you can pass that around.
Okay.
Against the oversized vehicle ordinance and the appeal to the...
And lest it not be clear, I am a strong supporter of a woman's right to choose, and when I speak sarcastically about the Democrats and Roe versus Wade, as I probably made clear at other points in this and earlier netcasts, it has to do with the fact that the Democrats use it as an organizing tool, but then do nothing about it in terms of actually putting it into legal statutes that would make it impossible for the Supreme Court to do what it did last week. So, back to the Huff meeting.
The Coastal Commission.
All right, thank you. Yeah, this is also, I think there's also a link if you look on your agenda, if you want to go online and do it. So.
Yeah, and a link there too.
So, and actually, of course, I don't think this, I have no idea what the Coastal Commission pays attention to. What I think it'll really pay attention to is perhaps its own precedents, if they are paying the attention to their own precedents, but maybe following the Supreme Court, they won't. So, who knows? Mm-hmm. So, Nick has an item on the agenda. I need to go through the agenda. We have pass-arounds. I'll show you or tell you what the pass-arounds are. Not a lot of them. Didn't get time to put out the newspaper pass-arounds, but if you want to look at the vending ordinance, the CSSO, or the OVO. Actually, I don't think I have the OVO with me, ironically. But these are within the ordinances. There are actually two of them that were passed by the shitty council. So, also we have the meeting minutes from the last meeting. In case you're curious, part of what happened. These are only partial minutes. Then there's why the ACLU opposes the CARE court proposal. If you want to take a look at that. I think it was being passed around by Peter Gelblum. It's on the Southern California ACLU website. If anybody doesn't know, the CARE court is the court that says we will shoot you up after the judge tells us to fuck you for your own good.
There was an amazing online thing earlier in the week. Did anybody see that? Did you see it? Yeah, and ACLU and Shaniqua Williams and somebody else. It was really amazing. I only got to watch an hour of it. The record, it'll be available at some point, and it's worth watching.
Yeah, I
think.
Not carefully looked at the CARE court legislation or the critique of it. This is the critique of it.
Well, it's all in this thing.
And there's also a longer letter by the ACLU which goes into more detail, which I didn't bring along because I didn't have time. But what this is all about is currently you can't be held against your will unless you are danger to yourself, danger to others, or gravely disabled, supposedly. That's the 1967 Landerman-Petras Short Act. And that is a California ordinance that is now... was challenged by the Laura's Law, and that's not these Laura's.
It might be.
It might be. Well, I suppose. Hopefully not. But that this county has not accepted the changes in Laura's Law. We actually had a county option opt out, and the county did not opt in, or some such thing.
This was last year?
It was passed in 2004, but it was made mandatory to either opt in or opt out last year, beginning of this year. Year or something like that.
Well, which is a good side, opting in or out?
Well, it depends on whether you believe that people should be hospitalized, held against their will, and forcibly medicated for their own good.
That would be opting in.
That would be opting in. Most of the state.
It's taking your rights away without a trial or a crime.
I'm not talking about the CARE court. We're
taking your prisoner without a trial or a crime.
So anyway, the CARE court. That's a good point, Laura.
It says research shows that high-quality voluntary care is more effective. Of course, mental health treatment. Treatment is more effective when unhoused community members are stable in safe, permanent, affordable housing.
Right, and that's been the reason that they have not been able to implement
Laura's. Why would they go back to ways that are proven ineffective and harmful.
The reason why somebody on that thing said it was because it felt that Gavin Newsom wants to run for president or something. It's a political ploy.
Yeah.
It's another way to spend money that should be spent housing people and taking and giving services.
Yeah.
It's another way just to spend it on another court.
Yeah.
Another bite of freedom, of our freedoms as Americans.
That there were,
even though we're poor,
there's a
we're
whole
still...
series of courts that have already been.
Now, this is actually on the agenda to be discussed. And I mention it because this is a pass around, and I was afraid. I interrupted her because I just wanted to let people know what this was about generally. And I'm happy to talk about it now if you want.
Oh, I didn't see that was on the agenda.
Yeah.
I thought you were just
going to
go
well, yeah, no. I'm running. Anyway, the other pass around, Association of Faith Communities, so-called Safe Parking Program, lack of information on the website, in case you wanted to see their splendid approach, which is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the city. I called the city this morning to ask which lots are open currently for use for overnight safe sleeping at the moment. And she didn't know. She sent me to Larry and Wally's voicemail. Strangely enough, Larry has not yet responded to that or any of the other previous email. I think I sent him one email that I sent him. If I get any information, I'll tell you. Here's Santa Cruz locals. And that's another thing I'm passing around. This is a story, and this is kind of maybe the big deal. Seniors being evicted from the hotels and also from the armory. And there was a very strong statement against this by a woman at the anti-Roe v. Wade rally who is an employee with the county, which you can actually go online to hear. It's on my Sunday show. If you go back to Sunday show, this is Santa Cruz locals' take on it. If you want to look at it.
Why would they be evicted from the armory?
They're closing down the armory until the city takes it over, supposedly with worse management procedures for those who live within, because we know that homeless are just children and drug dealers and junkies and so forth, and need to be controlled. Or as Bob LaMonica
said... You love children, you don't love the homeless.
Yeah.
So they don't consider us children of America.
That's a good point. It's a good point, Troy.
We are.
Here's something which describes a film coming up tonight. If you're interested in the one liberal cause they're pushing, the so-called progressive forces in town at the Vets Hall from 6 to 9 is free. You get food there, supposedly. They will be asking for a donation. And, yep, it's free. Join us if you'd like. This describes where. It's at the Vets Hall, 6 o'clock, if you want. It's free. And these are the minutes of the last meeting, if you want to look at some of what the last meeting talked about.
What's the movie about?
It is about the proposal to stop the burial of the library in the parking garage and require, essentially, it's a vote on that, and it has various other aspects as well. So that's pass arounds. Actually got through that. Wow. There's announcements. Does anybody have any announcements about stuff coming up or stuff that's maybe happened that they want to make an announcement briefly about? I can't think of anything myself except, no, nothing. Troy, anything?
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering to know how long you've been doing. How effective it's been, because a lot of people feel like we're beating air by trying to be free and trying to survive and live and even to do anything that's proactive towards our rights or our well-being. Yes.
How effective? What is this?
This?
Oh, we're not very effective at all. We're completely ineffective, I would say. But we chat a lot.
That's going to be effective.
Well, that will go out on the net, not on the radio, but on the net. Whether it's effective, I would not care to hazard.
I could have added something to this. I could have done my own presentation.
I'm just going to suggest that we've got a crack in a moment in when people are beginning to listen. I just I'm hearing it on the. So we have a chance. So we shouldn't stop pushing now. We should keep trying. Because
yeah,
even though they haven't listened so far, maybe this time. I'm done.
Are you done?
Sorry.
Troy.
Troy, you know what I think this meeting is effective for, and why one of the reasons why I come is because we're like, look at this mix of people here, and we're just talking community and sharing information, like learning about things that I wouldn't otherwise know about, or firsthand experiences with, like the care courts. I don't think that would have been on my radar if I hadn't heard about it at these meetings, and or at Laura's Law from, you know, whether it was earlier this year or last year, nobody can remember. But so I think maybe we're not effective in terms of like direct like legislation or policy, but we're part of. And Robert, your history of recording things is just like documenting stuff.
The reason I asked the question wasn't to question what you're doing.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing. But it was because that I have an initiative of my own and a change.org petition of my own. Mm. But I kind of feel like I might be fruitless, that it might not be something that really I can succeed in. And it's, I noticed there thing is to stop attacks on poor women in Santa Cruz. Well, my girl, the woman I came here with and was my fiance, died last year, and she was a minority immigrant woman with a permanent visa.
Sorry, can I put this on the agenda?
I just want to say that my petition was for a monument to the people that have died.
Yes.
And, but I haven't been getting on it because I feel like I might be just beating the air.
Vicki Grolsch was taking names for that. My daughter died a year ago. So,
murdered
in her RV. She was the one that was murdered in her RV. So, her name needs to go on there also. So, I've signed the petition for.
So, we'll be talking about that.
Yes.
All right, so you're on the agenda. Nick, you're on the agenda, too. Anybody else going to add anything to the agenda or make announcements? That's what I was asking about. Okay, then we got those two additional items. Unless you got something, I mean, I guess you could probably talk, Joy, about different stuff that's happened that's on the agenda, it sounds like. And if people remember stuff that they want to add, tell me, or just shout out, and we'll see. What people want to do. Street reports, the old business is next. And I can't, does anybody have old business that they want to bring up?
I wondered about what happened with it, just to hear a report on the coffee clutch, because I hadn't been around for a while.
Yeah, okay, well, old business on the coffee clutch. We did the coffee clutch for 3 days at City Hall. What was the coffee clutch? It was this thing that said, essentially audit the homeless funding in the city, because we went to the city first. The county, of course, is more of it. And then we also provided an option for homeless people to go in and try to make an appointment to talk with the city manager, tell them not to sweep the benchlands or other places without real decent accommodations for people to go to. We didn't really take that part of the action. Well, the action we took was we provided coffee, and Troy provided pastries. That's Troy 1 here. Thank you, Troy, and thank
you.
Troy, as I am known.
He's also the
good
Troy.
Oh,
okay.
The good and twins. The new Troy and the old Troy. I don't know. Anyway, and so that was appreciated by the, I don't know, handful of people who stopped at City Hall, is what I'm telling you, Laura, as to what went down. And we also had petitions. Very few people signed. Got a couple of contacts. I wrote up a flyer. We put up some signs. Justin Cummings snuck in the back and snuck out the back. But Donna Myers paraded proudly through and took our flyer. So she's more political savvy, or has more courage, maybe because she has more support on the council and with the staff. So we did that for 3 days. Keith McHenry supported it. I should say Food Not Bombs supported it.
Thank you.
Welcome. And, Food Not Bombs volunteers also supported it. Though I might say Keith did take a leading role, but still, that wasn't, you know, certainly wasn't all him at all. And then Joe Schultz also provided food, coffee. We did it for 3 days, and we stopped doing it, because we'd only volunteered to do it for 3 days. However, regarding what the new Troy here has said, and regarding the issues of anything that's on this agenda, really, but specifically OVO, CSSO, these laws against the homeless, police sweeps, accounting for the funding that's going. I think that the eviction of all these seniors has a real impact and a possible opening for us to get some kind of action, and that's it might be worthwhile to go downtown with a petition for a number of things.
And I talk about that more, and that's in fact what we are doing today, at least a few of us, on Pacific Avenue at around noon for about an hour, or however long things seem to be percolating. Again, in front of New Leaf Market at Soquel. So join us if you wish. But here is a little musical break for the moment.
Benny, you don't mean this is 1988?
Smell the decaf.
1988? What happened to the revolution?
The revolution? The revolution? Oh, you must mean the revolution. Professor Benny will now update the throwback. Nixon got elected in 68. The war continued to escalate, but what we couldn't blow away, we tried real hard to defoliate. Now peace with honor and napalm too. Nixon won again in 72.
Nixon!
He's gonna love this. We torch My Lai, we bomb Hanoi. We killed 60,000 American boys. The war didn't end till 75. After that, the movement died.
75? And the movement died?
Join the video club. And in Cambodia, we backed some stooge, but his ass got kicked by the Khmer Rouge. They killed more people than you'd believe, till they got creamed by the Vietnamese. Then Nixon sank in a swamp of sleaze. Now the only ones who love him are the Red Chinese.
Nixon! And the Red Chinese? Oh, Mao!
Oh, yeah, now watch me work. Oh, I'm gonna get down here. Oh, I'm coming back up again. Things kept happening weird like that. We even had a Democrat. Know nothing about Chile or Lebanon, about Nicaragua or the neutron bomb, about the CIA, their secret war, about the oil spilling off the shore. How about liberation for the women and the gays?
Yeah!
Women got nothing and the gays got AIDS.
AIDS? Benny man, what's AIDS?
That's getting around, boys. You gotta be careful out there. We had some fights, had some fun, but the drug revolution's all we won. I don't mean reaper, I'm talking about smack. Ass is old, you ought to try some crack. Turn on, tune in, while the bottom's dropping out. The gravy boat's done lost its spout. The margin shrunk, there ain't no fat. Half of these people think the world is flat.
No, it's round!
Not according to the Bible or the bottom line. The final nail, out now, pound in. Forgive us, Jay, for we have sinned. It ain't pretty, it ain't nice. Ronald Reagan got elected twice.